Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, they have. The Penguins, unfortunately, are secondhand news, aren't they? City Limits.
It's unfortunate.
Secondhand news.
Aren't they?
Well, again, I thought it was funny last night. I just happened to be on Twitter when the Flyers lost. And the explosion.
Yes.
About Tortorella pulling his goalie.
He claims he didn't know that the Capitals or that the Red Wings game was over.
Yeah.
And that it didn't matter what the Flyers did.
Because
they pulled their goalie late in regulation. Because
they needed a regulation win because they couldn't give a point to the Capitals.
Right. They thought they did. And then it became moot.
I don't
blame him.
Yeah.
Do you?
I
believe him. I believe he's in the midst of that game. And no matter what.
Yes.
They thought they needed a regulation win.
Yes. But it just goes to show you how far people will go to create conspiracies. You know what I mean?
Like, are you watching the split screen?
You know, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, yes. The bottom line to me is when he made the decision to do that, they had to win.
Yes.
And not give the Capitals a point.
Yeah, and it had just happened in Detroit. Right. I don't think anybody's walking up to Torts with a sheet saying this is what just happened.
Right, exactly.
And even if they did, I don't know what he does. You know what I thought was going to happen? The best case, who wound up winning the Detroit game? I stopped watching.
Detroit, I think.
It didn't matter at that point. Yeah, did they win an overtime or a shootout?
No, I think they won an overtime.
They did.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter anymore once the Capitals thing happened. But it was incredible watching the end of Detroit-Montreal on one side of the screen on NHL Network and the Capitals-Flyers on the other. I can't remember a time I've been more riveted to a television in my life.
Yeah, it was pure entertainment. It reminded me of watching the Chargers and the Raiders deep in overtime and if they would tie or not.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
That's a great call.
And I'll tell you the other thing. Could you imagine if the Capitals had lost and somehow that the Capitals lost before the shootout in the other game? The Penguins' hopes would be riding on a shootout for between Montreal and Detroit. That would have been incredible.
And by the way, Detroit scored the only thing we'd be talking about last night. If the Capitals only got a point,
right,
is the end of that Detroit game in regulation when there should not have been icing called. And I saw it right away, and I texted somebody. I said, those guys loafed after that puck. They could have easily had it. There's no way that should have been icing. Then they get a faceoff and score with seconds left. And then they start talking about it on NHL Network. Oh, look at this. Let's go back to the end of regulation. Well, how did you not see it at the time? Now, it wound up not mattering. I get it. And what are the Canadians doing? They lead 4-1 one night and lose. They lead 3-1 the next night and lose. And then the Capitals Flyers. You know what I thought was going to happen, though, Paul? I thought that Montreal was going to win because there were 7 seconds left in the blanking game. And that the Flyers, in spite of themselves, were going to score a late goal with like 2 seconds left. What do you do then if you tie the game? You just play it out in overtime, right? You just say, who gives a crap? Let's try to win anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. You mean if they had gotten to overtime and it was meaningless?
Yeah, because they were still trying to score out of habit. What if one of those deflections goes in with 2 seconds left?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Or you know, a little more time than that, because I think the Capitals... Did the Capitals score on an open... No, they never scored on the open net.
Yeah, they did.
So what if it was 2-2?
Well, they had that disallowed goal that was called back on an inadvertent whistle.
That was crap, too.
What? Here we go. Wait, yes. I'm pretty sure their goal was on the empty net, which is what the problem was.
No, they didn't. Did they score on the empty net?
Yes, yeah. Oshie scored game winner into an empty net.
But they never got the insurance goal. So the Flyers, right to the end, were trying to tie it.
But here's...
Even though they had to know... Well, they definitely knew that if they went to overtime, their season was done no matter what happened in Detroit. But what if one of those shots just goes in?
Here's what's hilarious, and this is what you got to love about sports in some ways. Going into the final five games of the year, the Capitals had lost six games in a row.
Yeah.
We all said, they're done.
And they should have been.
They're done. And then they win four of the last five to get to the playoffs.
It's just, it's so
like the Penguins at that point.
Mediocre in the East, at the bottom.
The Penguins were playing so well for, you know, that stretch of eight to ten games. And then what happens at the end? They lose and, you know.
Hey, man, I was watching LeBron, Anthony Davis against Zion Williamson last night in an unbelievable basketball game. Did you ever write that column that the NHL should have a play-in?
Yeah.
You're right. They should have a play-in because all these teams stink. The Islanders are third place in their division. They won 38 of 81 games so far. The Capitals won 40 of 82. The Penguins have won 38 of 81 games.
Right.
So all of them deserve to be in a one-game situation. Yeah. And you know what it would be, Paul? It would be Islanders, Capitals, one game, winner advances, loser has to play the winner of Penguins, Red Wings. It would be unbelievable. You know, we could be looking at a Penguins, at Ovechkin and Crosby, one game to get in the actual playoffs.
And you'd have an opportunity then, it would almost feel like a game seven again.
Yes. It would be incredible. How do they not do this, City Limits? Can you write the league, please?
I just think it's gimmicky. I mean, do we really want to see more teams that are not very good fight for playoff chances? Like,
yes, we do.
Yes.
It was entertaining last night.
All of us, Paul and I do. Don't you?
I'm just not up for it. It doesn't drive me to the TV.
Wait a second. Ovechkin and Crosby in a one-game playoff? Ovechkin
versus that wouldn't get you one.
Being a Penguins game, it would. But if it was, say, Seattle playing against Vegas in a one-game playoff, no, I would not watch that.
What if it was the Red Wings and the Capitals in a one-gamer?
No? Also not that entertaining, though.
No? All right. To each his own. I don't understand.
I mean,
him,
to me, now the last night, the Golden State game didn't turn out to be a great, great game.
No, but it was compelling because it was the end of an era.
Right. But the Laker game was a lot
was
of fun.
Great.
That was a great game.
And now you'll have the Miami Heat tonight playing for their lives. It's against Embiid. I mean, come on. Limits. You're not going to watch. Are you an NBA guy?
I watched bits and pieces of the Warriors game and the last, 2 minutes of the Lakers game just because it was close.
You're going to watch a little Embiid, Jimmy Butler tonight in a one-game, a one-game situation?
I'll probably watch the end of the Penguins' destruction tonight.
Did you watch the Reds-Pirates wildcard game? Did that interest you in 2013? Well, that was a one-game, essentially a one-game play-in game. It's a wildcard game. One game. You're in or out.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the perspective of where you're coming from that. I just think that continued addition of playoffs, it's like expanding the NCAA tournament. Adding more teams does not mean it's going to be better.
But you're really not. You're just adding the list of teams that can get a chance to get in. You're not expanding.
Right.
The field is still eight.
The field is still eight. That's the beauty of it. You're not changing the playoffs.
Have we changed your mind with this argument?
No, I still don't really care about it. I just don't.
I like a man who stands by his convictions.
But that's just it. You're not expanding the playoffs. It's almost like the whole thing with the NCAA tournament. I would be okay if they expanded it from the standpoint of they had a bunch of play-in games for seeds, but the real tournament was still the 64 teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, let's weigh on this really quickly because we have Dan Zangrilli coming up at the top of the hour.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the general we have on the line, of course, is in 20 seconds or less, Paul, your thoughts on Jared Jones getting 59 pitches last night.
I think it's absurd. And I get it. I know it's the way we do baseball now. It's analytics. You know, I don't want to hear that crap. Because here's the thing. Do you notice this, Joe? They have all these pitching programs. And listen, I'm not even criticizing the Pirates here. Major League Baseball in general. They have all these pitching programs, all of these innings counts, all of these ways that you weigh, this inning is weighted a little bit more than this inning, and so there's some formula. All of these different, well, we've got to shut them down for 8 days or 10 days. They have so many different things in place nowadays to basically not let guys pitch. It's really working out well in terms of preventing injuries, isn't it? Being as the number one story right now in Major League Baseball is all of these, the agents and all of these people basically saying, guys, are too many pitchers are getting hurt.
Yeah. Well,
I'm wondering if at some point they might say one of the reasons pitchers are getting hurt is because we treat them like fragile, we treat them like fragile, vases where we don't let them pitch. We don't let them build up their arm strength. We don't let them build through their tolerance of. I mean, someone has to explain to me, and believe me, I've asked trainers, I've asked coaches, I've asked managers, I've asked pitchers.
Aren't you glad I said in 40 seconds yes. or less? Clearly,
I'm just saying that. Well, you hit, but this is let me just say this: how is it that 25 or 30 years ago, guys used to go 8-9 innings, guys got complete games, the whole. And we have 80 times better training methods, technology, medical technology and everything else.
Some people tell you the difference today is that every starter throws like a closer. That's all about maximum velocity, maximum spin rate. That the analytics, to me, have actually helped to cause this instead of help this. And I'm not even sure, by the way, that this alleged like rash of pitcher injuries is even a fact. When I look at some of the numbers out there of Tommy John surgeries 15 years ago compared to now, I'll give you those numbers coming up. I didn't like it. I understand the urge to protect young pitchers. I'm just not sure holding a guy to 59 pitches instead of 71 on a given day is really getting it done. Right?
Yeah.
Is really getting it done. That's A. B, if 59 pitches is acceptable to you, then get Skeens up here right now. Then just have him throw 55, 65 pitches.
Right.
And by the way, you're hardly ever going to get through five innings on that many. So if you have a bullpen with some length and some talent, you want three or four innings from your starter, we're heading in that direction anyway, then get Skeens up here. I don't know that just because you hold a guy to 59 pitches in a game where you can, where you're winning 1-0, like at what point does the urge to protect these guys like Vase, you said, supersede the idea of winning baseball games?
Right.
That's that. And then another addendum to that is the Pirates aren't going to keep any of these guys past their first contract either. And I hate to be callous and cruel, but I say use them up while you can. I hate to say that, but that would be my philosophy. If I were the Pirates, because we ain't keeping Gerrit Cole past his first contract. In fact, we're trading him with 2 years left on it. So let's get everything we can
can. They want to have it both ways. They want to protect these guys. You know what I mean?
We have to go.
Okay. We'll do it. But it's similar to the whole thing with the running back situation with the Steelers. Draft the running back in the first round, run his legs off, and move on.
Limits? We have to go.
Yes, we do. We have to get to the general.
Dan Zangrilli at sort of the top of the hour. Talking about this.
It is the top of the hour.
The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dan Zangrilli I'm sure has strong opinions, and I'm betting they're in favor of what the Pirates did, and I think a case can be made for it. I think you're going to hear him make that case very shortly, but first, the general. General Patton, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry with Starkey's Card of the Week. No guesses this week, General. Let's get right to it.
You would have guessed it anyway, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. We got to honor Kutch this week. 300 home runs. We got a great Andrew McCutchen card. Diamond Kings, piece of game-used bat, piece of game-used jersey. They only made 49 of these cards.
Beautiful.
And it's a great piece of Pirate memorabilia.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard, Kutch's 300th win, or 300th homer. I asked you the other day, what did I ask you? Oh, about the baseball that guy caught in the stands. What would that be worth if somebody walked into the Baseball Card Castle and said, General, I've heard you on 93.7 The Fan, and I absolutely love you, and I have an artifact here. It's Kutch's 300th home run ball. What do you think I can get for it? What would be your answer?
$5,000. It's a piece of Pittsburgh Pirate baseball history. It isn't necessarily a piece of baseball history. A lot of that has to do with it. When you talk about the bidding process, when there's Yankee bidders involved or Dodger bidders involved, it escalates. It's a great thing for Western Pennsylvania. It's an okay thing for baseball history. If it was 500 home runs, it would be a whole different echelon. Kutch is awesome. There's tons of people in Western PA who would love to put that thing on their mantle. $5,000 to $10,000.
Ooh, okay. Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
Have a good week.
All right.